Welcome and thank you for coming to another one of our podcasts. Today I will want to talk to you about specifically a statement that Jesus made in John 15. The statement is simply, I am the vine and you are the branches, which is found in John 15 verse 5. Now, what this basically points to is a special relationship that we have with him. A relationship that finds its heart in the very parable of the vine that he's speaking right here in this 15th chapter of John's Gospel. And it's kind of along the lines of what he truly means when he uses this expression, abide in me. This statement and this parable is a very simple yet very rich teaching about our relationship to God, and especially in the sense of a salvation message, what it means to truly be someone who is in relationship with God. Because this teaching gives us probably the best and most complete illustration of our place in both our being saved and in how we cooperate with God in that salvation plan. At the heart of this parable is a teaching about the nature of our union with God. The connection between a branch and a vine is something that's a living relationship. It also further shows us the supernatural side of how we exist in the world as a dependent, if you will, upon the very goodness and loving kindness of God every moment of our lives, because our lives have to be touched and transformed by his continual authority and grace to keep us here. So we're looking at this connection. And it's basically that it's not a union that can be done remotely. It's something that has to be a very specifically joined union, a natural union, because it's not something that can be produced from some kind of external source. And in this sense, we kind of understand what the scripture means when it talks about how works alone are not good enough to make us right with God. There has to be an act of God first. In fact, the vine has to exist before there can be a branch that can be a part of it. So we have to look for God's work to work in our God's grace to work in our lives for there to be a true communion with God. And this is kind of one of the first thoughts that gets put into this particular relationship. In fact, as we understand it from the standpoint of him being a creator, if he doesn't make something available through creation, it's not possible for anything to happen. In fact, if we want to look at a more natural, rational explanation or illustration, the sap that goes from the vine to the branches to keep them alive is kind of this experience of grace that we have to experience first in order to truly know what it is to be alive and to experience the grace of eternal salvation. So we kind of keep this in mind as we move forward. So as we learn to look at the life or the sap that goes through the from the vine to the branch, we come to understand that therefore when it comes to coming to God, it is not something that is a result of any work or wisdom or thing that we do. The relationship that we have with God has to be based on something that he began in us. Scripture basically tells us, I think it's in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, I'm thinking this is where it is, it tells us that God had to send forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts as a means of making us capable of responding to the call of the gospel. So when you repent, when you're able to fully experience the full blessings of God, your ability to consent and to believe the things of the gospel, like the Trinity, or that Jesus is the incarnate Son of God, or that he's present in the Blessed Sacrament of body and blood, soul and divinity, in the what used to be or seemed to be the elements of bread and wine at the Mass, that these are things that are acts of grace that are working in our lives. So we kind of experience this by the same Spirit that once dwelled within Jesus, now dwells inside of us, basically giving us this channel of grace, this sap of the eternal vine that allows us to have the ability to cooperate and to become what he wants us to become. And we find this in the parable as it talks about how, as a branch, we ourselves are unable to do anything. We're unable to do the kind of good that makes the relationship with God work. So we're kind of leaning on him every moment to be able to even do the good works that we're required to do. And this is why when we look at the Ephesians message of it's all an act of grace that comes to us by faith and not of works, because we can't boast, that we see this at the heart of this particular parable. It's a reminder that as a believer, every day we can only do what's pleasing to God by what has been imparted to us by grace through the Holy Spirit, and comes to us through a life of prayer and fellowship with God himself. And all of this daily inflowing of the eternal life and grace through the Holy Spirit is something that is alone responsible for anything that we do that is good. And this is why prayer and this is why obedience are two of the main things that we need to have a full and living faith, and to truly understand what it is to be a branch on a vine. Because it's kind of where you can't do what you see as good without you first recognizing that the ability to do is something that came from God in the first place. The great mystery of Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11 tell us that we must work out, number one, our salvation in fear and trembling. But it's not because that working out is something that comes from us, but as the verse 11 points out, it's because God wills and does through us. It's an acting through grace. It's basically providing for us the fruitfulness that we are required to show him, because we're branches on a vine. We don't do this apart from him. We don't have the ability to do corporal works of mercy or to give alms to the poor or to truly love one another until we see it first coming from him. And that's the lesson of why when he gives us the great command to love one another, he tells us to love one another as I have loved you. It's not how I love myself, it's how I perceive God's love is how I'm able to love you. And this is a principle that you can see in other people's lives. When they're not able to truly love somebody else, it's generally because they don't see the love to themselves first. And when people are acting selfish and are all about me, 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 it's because they don't see outside of themselves a source of love, a source of good, a source that doesn't hurt them. And this is kind of the point that we need to develop, is that without the grace that is provided to us as a branch on the vine, we can't also respond to God properly. So we begin with first being a branch that receives grace from God. As we meditate on this and let our minds and souls truly understand what it is to be a branch on the vine and to appropriate that grace into our lives, we kind of miss the whole point of what this bigger, greater union that Jesus wants to have with us, that Christ wants to have with each one of us as a believer. But there's something a little bit more. Just as the vine and the branch are nothing without the other, in the sense that the branch itself produces the fruit that the vine does not produce on its own, and the branch can't produce that fruit without the vine, it shows us the relationship that to a degree, God doesn't want to have a world where he doesn't work with his creation. But it's also that it goes deeper than just us needing him. And it's not that he needs us per se. I need to preface before I go into talking about the need of Christ in this situation. But it's the need of love that communicates through another person a desire and a value of that person by choosing to have them be in your life. By choosing to be a parent, for example, and not aborting a child in the womb, there is a deeper showing that you don't want to exist another day without that other person in the life that you will be living from that point forward. It's showing you that there's a reciprocal relationship that develops because of the need that the other has for you and gives you a deeper purpose. And it shows that there is a need in love. And I really have to point this out, or at least stress that at this point, that the vine itself doesn't just produce this grace, this life-giving sap to the branch in order to hold it to itself, but to share it and to experience through that other individual, that other thing, that other person, that other object that is a part of it, something more than what it itself can do. God does a great many things all by himself. You just need to look around at creation. But there's something that should be mind-blowing about how he has chosen you to do a certain work on earth that he could do all by himself. But instead of doing it all by himself, he chooses you to be a conduit for that answer or that result to happen in the entire universe. And it's kind of a relationship that a parent has with children. And I have to stress one more time, it's kind of the reality behind why parents don't abort kids in the womb and why abortion is such a really wrong, is because it becomes more inward. It's selfish. It doesn't have that participation of grace in another person's life where you're sharing and helping that person to become more so that you're experiencing the joy through them, not without them. A lot of the things that we're asked to do, whether it's clothe the naked, feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, and so forth, all the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, all the works of mercy that people in societies like the St. Vincent de Paul show to others, those are things that basically show this relationship of a branch and a vine just reaching out and experiencing a deeper life through the other individual. And we can see that we not just owe our lives to him, but our lives can be greater when we help others in a similar way. As Jesus pointed out in his great prayer, the glory which you gave me, I give to them. It's not just a work that God does all by himself in creating and having a universe. He created this universe so that we could cultivate and take care of the Garden of Eden that we are given so that it can truly be a paradise. So it's not just God's hand in the garden, but it's also your hand in the garden. I try to think of how things in my childhood made different people that benefited me happy, whether it was doing the homework and even though I got an A on the test, the teacher could take a little pride in knowing that they actually taught me something that I can now use. Or in the sense of getting a present, like I did one birthday, my grandmother got me a big Tonka set so I could be out in the backyard digging up stuff in the backyard of her house, and how that helped deepen something between us, because while she could go out there and she could plant plants in her garden and all that jazz, by having me out there with her, it made it more of an event. It made it more something, because it wasn't just her alone with flowers. It was her with flowers and me, and we were digging in the ground and putting stuff in. I think she really wanted me to have a green thumb, but I just don't have them. I have a whole bunch of fingers. I don't have thumbs. But that's another story for another day. But it's also how we're able to give ourselves over to another And it speaks about how just because I can do something on my own, it doesn't mean that I don't benefit by doing it just myself. I have a greater benefit because I let somebody else share in. And it's kind of a reminder that every power of God's being is every moment being channeled through us if we will cooperate and be a branch on the vine, just taking his grace and letting this basically allow us to produce the fruit that he would like to have done. And it also shows the reason why there's certain suffering, if we really pay attention to the words of this parable. Because if we look at the second verse of John 15, it tells us that every branch that doesn't bear fruit gets taken away. And that we're also told that if we do bear fruit, we're going to get purged a little bit. We're going to get pruned. We're going to get some things taken away so that we can bear a lot more fruit. Because the idea is the end result of grace working in and through us and we becoming more fruitful. So every branch is required to maintain its own life by not fighting the sap, not blocking it, not preventing the sap from allowing the fruit to show in our lives. So we need to love others. We need to seek others and their good, and to allow them to experience the same blessing that Jesus is imparting to us. Because what good is a branch that has a whole bunch of fruit that doesn't benefit another individual beyond that branch? I mean, if you've ever seen apples that stayed too long on an apple tree, you know they get rotten. So if the apples are never taken from an apple tree and put in an apple pie, the apple itself ends up decaying and not having any great benefit. So it shows that there's a more deeper process that goes on, if you will, that allows each one of us to have a benefit for somebody else. That isn't just fruit just for me. It isn't just blessing just for me, any more than it's just blessing for God to alone have blessing. He wants us to share in that. That's the sharing within, in a sense, of the glory that he had from the beginning by sharing it with us so that we can experience a deeper knowledge of his love and who he is. And that makes this parable of the vine something that unveils deeper mysteries of divine love to show us what a true spiritual heavenly lifestyle really is all about and what it is to truly be a Christian, to truly experience what it is that God wanted from the very beginning when he created us in his image and wanted us to go and cultivate this world so that it can become more and better than what it originally was. Even in perfection can be made more perfect by more hands being made a part of the process. But I need you to really understand this and really get this in, because I think a lot of us really don't understand how deep this parable is speaking about our relationship with God, how much we truly need to understand that Jesus is a true vine. He's that vine which basically holds you up. It nourishes you. It supplies you. It uses you. It fills you with everything, allows you to be able to produce something that is really beneficial to the world. And this is something that we really need to focus on as we go throughout our daily lives, especially today. We need to truly develop this attitude that if we're truly to be a branch, we're truly to be something that is on the vine of Jesus Christ, where we abide in him and rest in him and wait on him and serve him and live only what graces he grants us to help others, to be fruitful to the world around us, that we will understand our true purposes in life, or the true meaning of what life is all about. In fact, I would go deeper that we need to have a different kind of mindset as we approach our days. We need to kind of think to ourselves about how much we completely belong to God as creatures. How as a creature, we can do nothing all in of ourselves. How like a child, we don't have the ability to go out into the world, pay rent, watch TV on our own TVs. We need parents to be able to do that because we are limited in what we're capable of. And once we gather into that, we can truly find what it is to truly experience happiness in truly serving God and participating in the fellowship that He wants to have with us, through us, and in us. And what it truly means to be a fruitful branch that benefits the world around us. That none of our things are just for me and mine. It's for you and yours as well. Because we can see, just as God works through us, how much joy it brings Him, how much if we really bless another individual and they're able to triumph over bad situations, that we have a hand, that we have a part in that, that can deepen us even more and be the fruit that God really wants to work in us. And the purpose why we're even here is to make the world better and to experience that betterment through others. In fact, as we completely yield ourselves to the teachings of Christ and His church and simply trust in His love, grace, and promises, we will experience this deeper, more abundant life, a life that is not just a life that's lived for me and me alone, but is a life that is lived through other people, through those that we bring into our lives, much like parents bringing children into the world, where we experience their needs and can help them to survive and to bear fruit as well, and see our place in the branch and vine saga that Jesus is trying to impart to us. In fact, abiding is nothing but merely an acceptance, if you will, of that position and perspective that we need Christ to provide for us in order for us to produce the fruit, the things that are the end result of true Christian living, the good works. And that at the very end, it's merely a consent of us to truly be kept. It's not just making a sinner's prayer and confessing Him one time, but it's about how we live every moment of every day from this point out till the end of eternity, because we consent to stay with Him and deepen this relationship and continue to see how He provides for us the things that allow us to do what we are capable of doing and how that benefits others and furthers this mysterious act of grace that just produces a better world than the perfect world we already began with. And we get to see how living in this love allows us to make a true prayer, a prayer that confesses what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 139, verse 6, that such knowledge is too wonderful for us. It is high, and it's something that we can't even contain. It's that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, what has God provided or planned for us, because we have to participate in it to experience it. Blessing that truly is heaven. But if we will be a branch on the vine, if we will participate in this glorious unity that God provides for us, He will unfold for us something that is more precious and mysterious that will encourage us throughout all eternity if we will only truly abide. So I turn to you, my dear brothers and sisters, and I ask you today, will you not only just come to the Lord for yourself, but allow Him to provide to you the grace to live for another? Because if you will live for another, if you will experience being a blessing to another, you will see how God works in and through you and the delight that He has in you when you cooperate with His grace and bear much fruit as a branch on a vine for others. Thank you for your time, and I hope you have a very blessed day.